When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Well, here we go. Early in the second period, Rangers lead the Maple Leafs 1-0. Tough start for Seattle against the Philadelphia Flyers. 3 minutes into the second period, it is 3-0 for Philly. Coming up later tonight, the Blues and the Coyotes. And at 7:30, it is Anaheim at Calgary. The Ducks are here tomorrow night to take on your Edmonton Oilers, as the Oilers try to sweep their season-opening three-game homestand. 5:30 for the face-off show here on 630 CHED, and the game will start at 7. Also tonight, baseball playoffs getting underway in a couple of minutes. Game 2 between the Astros and the Red Sox. This one at Fenway, the best of 7 is tied 1-1. And Monday night football starts at about quarter after. The 4-1 Buffalo Bills will take on the 3-2 Tennessee Titans. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. My name is Reed Wilkins, Inside Sports on 630 CHED. Always happy to hear from you. The hotline presented by CertainTeed, professional grade building materials, 780-496-0063. You can follow me on Twitter at Reed Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S, and you can email InsideSports at 630ched.com. A lot to get to tonight, a lot of storylines with the Edmonton Oilers, as a couple of high event games to get them to 2-0, the win in a shootout last Wednesday over Vancouver, and then the victory in the Battle of Alberta, another McDavid hat trick against the Flames, the third of his career, the 5-2 win on Saturday night. And of course, big news with the Edmonton Elks from over the weekend. They have traded the former starting quarterback, Trevor Harris, to the Montreal Alouettes, and we'll look at that in a little more detail as we move along tonight as well. All right, we'll start with the Oilers. They did not practice yesterday. Back on the ice today, Devin Shore skated in the spot we kind of expected that he might be if he had been healthy to start the season, between Brendan Perlini and Kyle Turris. So the fifth line today was Ryan McLeod with Colton Sevier and Tyler Benson. I would expect that the Oilers would activate Shore tomorrow in time for the game against the Ducks. So they would have to assign somebody, assuming everybody else is healthy, which they appeared to be today, they'd have to assign somebody to Bakersfield. Would not surprise me if that's Ryan McLeod, who can be sent to the minors without having to clear waivers. But we'll see how that actually plays out tomorrow as we move into that game against the Ducks. Of course, the Battle of Alberta did get a little heated, especially that first period, by far the most intense period of the three on Saturday night. And Kyler Yamamoto getting mixed up in things.
Turn it over, McDavid to Yamamoto, quick shot, save Markstrom, and then the rebound tucked back underneath, and that was dangerous because Markstrom was engaged, and now we got a bit of a fight here.
You know, it's Battle of Alberta. Emotions are high. You know, it's just a little scrum. At the time, I didn't even know he headbutted me.
Yamamoto and Anderson going at it, and Anderson lands three quick right hands while Yamamoto is tied up with the linesman.
You know, it's just a heated battle. It's Battle of Alberta. Emotions are going to run high. His head hit my head, so there's not much you can really say about it.
All right, so Kyler Yamamoto not saying too much about it. Now, here's what's happened. Rasmus Anderson has been fined $5,000 for roughing. The NHL Department of Player Safety did not specifically list headbutting as the reason for the fine. They put it as roughing. I know Rob and I were talking after the game, and it turned out there was some debate. Okay, what was it, a headbutt? Was his hand in there? What was going on? All right, well, we can debate that. It was a pretty aggressive play, so he gets fined for that. I'm sure you're going to be calling me and texting me tonight with some thoughts on that, and perhaps the Department of Player Safety in general. And should they come up with a new name for it? Maybe you can tell me that. It's too long to say anyway. Should it just be the NHL Department of Punishment? I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that as we move along. So Anderson got the $5,000 fine. Darnell Nurse was asked about the Yamamoto incident today.
They're mixed up in the corner. yeah, it was, I don't know. I'm not going to preach from some high ground. Like, I've never done anything dirty in my career, so.
All right, so that's Darrell Nurse, who isn't going to wade too heavily into that one or stoke any flames or put down Rasmus Anderson. Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, players, I guess sometimes they want a little leeway if they're going to do something aggressive or cross the line. So they're not going to throw another guy under the bus or totally condemn him if there was a suspendable or a finable offense in there as well. But that's how Darnell Nurse replied to it. I thought it was an interesting game for Kyler Yamamoto the other night. I mean, he got involved in that. He made a good play to take the puck to the net and create the scrum and create a little bit of turmoil. And as we've seen, I mean, yes, he's a very smaller guy. He's a small guy, and yes, that comes with its own challenges and limitations sometimes, but he doesn't play a fearful, timid game. He tries to get to those difficult areas of the ice and make plays. Most of them haven't been going in form for, most of last year and I guess the start of this year. But, you know, he does get involved and he does irritate a little bit and he is able to stir things up. I think one of the issues for Yamamoto is that he's found himself in the penalty box a fair bit as well. He took two penalties in the game on Saturday, and last year he played 52 games. He played 52 of the Oilers' 56 games. He had 26 minutes in penalties. So, you know, he's taken 13 minor penalties along the way, which, you know, Jujhar Khaira had more penalty minutes, but some of those would have been for a couple of fights. You know, Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl finished with 22 minutes each. McDavid finished with 20 minutes. Probably not, or they'd be playing a little bit more than Yamamoto. So Yamamoto, definitely a dogged and tenacious player, but we've seen him being tenacious against opponents and then sometimes winding up in the penalty box. So I asked him about trying to find that balance today.
You know, the first one I should have never took. You know, that one's on me. Second one, you looked at it again. Yeah, I was pretty heated after that one, but I did get him in the hands. So, you know, I thought it was a tough call, but, you know, refs saw it differently.
Yeah, so Yamamoto, halfway through the second period, got a tripping penalty for tripping Dylan Dubé. And then early in the third, he got a hooking penalty on Michael Backlund. And that's when the Flames scored their second goal of the game, the power play goal by Lindholm, which briefly pulled them to within a goal. So that's how he saw that. So I asked Dave Tippett the same question about Yamamoto getting these penalties.
I told him about a lesson an old coach taught me a long time ago because I was a penalty killer. And all he said was, "Tip, you're a penalty killer, not a penalty taker. So when we get a penalty, I want you on the ice. If you're in the penalty box, you can't be on the ice. So we're using him as penalty killing, so he shouldn't be taking penalties." First one the other night is stick gets caught up in a guy's feet. The second one is not a good penalty to take. Can't put your stick in a guy's hands in the middle of the ice when you're down. The other team's down in a game. They're screaming every time somebody come close. Just can't do it. And you can say it was a light call, but his stick is in their hands. Is in his hands. That's a call. And what I'd say to him is, if we were in that situation and somebody did that to Connor, we're saying it should have been a penalty. It's a penalty. So he shouldn't be taking penalties. He has to play the same aggressive style, but he can't be taking a lot of minors.
Well, I like how Tippett puts that. You have to be a penalty killer, not a penalty taker. And I loved how he explained that as well, that he's explaining to Yamamoto, look, if somebody did that to Connor McDavid with the stick and the gloves, our bench would be screaming for a penalty, especially if we're behind a goal or two and want a power play to get back in it. So to me, that's going to be another key for Yamamoto here as we move along, is that awareness of where his stick is. And I think he's so determined and so persistent that sometimes he has to know, okay, wait a minute, I'm getting too close to the line here, especially with my stick, and I don't want to put my team at a man disadvantage. And as Tippett referenced, without Yamamoto on the ice, who is one of their penalty killers, he's been out there with Derek Ryan usually when they do go out for the PK. He's an interesting player to watch. I mean, look, we know he's one of the smallest guys in the league, if not the smallest. He's listed at 5'8". I don't think he is 5'8" because I'm pretty sure I'm 5'8". And when I've interviewed Kyler Yamamoto, when we could interview guys standing next to them in person, I'm definitely taller than Kyler Yamamoto. He has that spot on the second line. And that was one I talked about throughout training camp. Could that be a position that is up for grabs, that maybe Kyle Turris would get a rotation there, or could Zach Cassian jump up there, or somebody like that? The Oilers are winning. You know, Cassian and Turris so far, I mean, I guess Cassian only played one game in the regular season, but, you know, they have roles right now on lines 3 and 4. We'll see where it goes with Yamamoto. I've said if he can be somewhere between the player he was last year and the previous year, that should be pretty good. He jumped into the NHL full-time in 1920, had 26 points in 27 games. He had 11 goals, but get this, his shooting percentage, 25. He took 44 shots and scored on 11 of them. And then last year, his actual shooting percentage still wasn't that bad. He had 8 goals on 69 shots for 11.6%. That wouldn't be bad if Yamo shot 11.6%. Probably needs to get his shot off a little more. And as we know, through the final, what was it, from February 15th until the end of the season, so that was basically 40 games, he only scored 4 goals, whereas he had 4 goals in the first 11 games of the season and looked like he was going to continue that pace. If he can be somewhere in between the red-hot Yamamoto in 1920 that probably wasn't going to repeat himself and who he was for the final 3 quarters of last season, I still think that's a pretty good player. But he's going to have to stay out of the penalty box and find the way to hit the score sheet a little more than he does playing with Nugent Hopkins and Hyman, assuming that's going to be the line for a while. I want to play this from Rob Brown on Overtime Open Line after the game on Saturday, because he had some very astute thoughts about the Yamamoto penalties and about how Yamamoto is going to have to find a spot on the team.
You can't take penalties like he's taken. Both of them were stick infractions. One got into the feet, one got into the hand at inopportune times. But I don't question his work ethic at all. And actually his battles, he doesn't lose a lot of battles. What you need, though, when you're, he's here because of what he can do offensively. That's why he was drafted in the first round. That's why he's playing in the top six. And the production hasn't been there. He had the great run when he got called up a couple years ago when they put him together with RNH and Leon. And, you know, was part of the reason that the Oilers' season turned around that year. But it wasn't there last year. The offense wasn't what it needed to be. He's playing top 6 minutes. And this year he's either going to play with RNH and Hyman, or when they split up the two centermen, the two greats, he's going to be playing with Leon. And when you play with Leon, you got to produce. And last year he didn't. He was snake bitten at times. But he will be judged on putting the puck in the net. If you're a top six player, you have to do it. The Oilers really like the way they have their line set up right now. They love the Derek Ryan third line, what they can do. Their fourth line they've been happy with. But for that to work, they got to get production out of the right side. Puljujarvi's doing that on his line. Yamamoto has to do it on his if he wants to stay in a top six position. I would imagine it'd be 10, 15 games before they make any kind of decisions on it. But in those 10, 15, he eventually has to put the puck in the
true. All right, so that's Rob Brown from after the game Saturday night on Overtime Open Line. I think he summed it up well. And, of course, we're not panicking right now. It's 2 games into the season, and the Oilers won both of them. So they weren't crying out for being a goal or two short in these 2 games. But I think that's fair. If you're going to be on the top six, you have to score at least sometimes. You can't go long, long gaps without ever putting points on the board. But we'll see how it goes. I'm happy to hear from you, of course. 780-496-0063 to call or text. We have a little bit from Darnell Nurse and Duncan Keith as we move along tonight as well. It's Inside Sports on Oilers and Elks Radio, 630 Chet. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Yeah, Oilers game tomorrow here on Chet, 7 o'clock. The puck will drop at Rogers Place. Our coverage with the face-off show will commence at 5:30. Okay. some of you writing in tonight on your smart cellular telephones. 780-496-0063. Benny says, hi, Reed. I often shake my head at decisions made by the NHL's Department of Player Safety. Whether it was a headbutt or not, Rasmus Anderson was striking Yamamoto in the head. Why is he doing that unless he's trying to injure his opponent? Should be an automatic 1 or 2 game suspension in my mind. That is from Benny, 780-496-0063. That comes up sometimes too, because now if you try to body check somebody and intentionally or not, you hit them in the head, and it doesn't have to be an elbow. It can be a shoulder. We saw it happen to Connor McDavid, when was it now, 3 or 4 years ago against the New York Islanders. It's an automatic 2-game suspension for a check to the head. And I've heard that. I mean, Benny alludes to it in that text. I've heard it from other listeners along the way here. Well, if you're punching somebody in the head, if you have your glove on in a scrum, isn't that a headshot? Couldn't you give them a concussion? Yeah, fair point. Farmer Kevin says, thank you for pointing out the problem with Yamamoto penalties. This careless stick stuff has got to stop. This goes back to taking careless stick penalties at crucial times in last year's playoffs. I don't think anybody questions Yamamoto's effort. And look, we're nitpicking a little bit here because, the team is 2-0, so there's more positive than negative. But I think we all want to see this player succeed and be a true top six player. And to do that, he's going to have to be on the ice. And I think it's just a matter of knowing when, okay, I'm not going to get the guy. Like, I just got to keep skating and keep my stick off him and back check and try to get in position that way for sure. The Big L says, got a glimpse of how good Hyman was last season when the Leafs swept 3 games from the Oilers, but watching him so far in these first few games, it's really impressive how much tenacity and ability he has. He's like a more potent Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Only concern I have about him is injuries as a result of his high level of effort. Otherwise, wow, what team wouldn't want him? That is from the Big L. Yeah, Hyman's been good so far. Talk more about him and Darnell Nurse when we get back after the news. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Hear that little ad for the Chucky show during Inside Sports. Is that on at other times during the day? I don't seem to remember hearing it at other times during the day. Maybe I just don't notice it because I'm often in my car or out and about if I'm listening to Chad. Do you know for sure, Kellen? Because I'm seriously wondering if this studio, whoever makes the Chucky show or Child's Play, whatever it's called, did they phone our station and did they say, hey, you got any really weird hosts? We could put this murder doll show in. And they were like, oh, yeah, we'll put it in Reed's show. That'll fit perfectly with that show. Is that what happened?
From what I know, your assumptions would be correct.
that's Kellen's insight into the inner workings of what's happening with 630.
That's just what I know. That's so, all.
Yeah, like if you got a show about a possessed doll, we will advertise it during Inside Sports, apparently. That's... It appears that's the criteria. We are the possessed doll show. Chucky was possessed, wasn't he? Wasn't that the premise?
I believe so.
He's basically possessed, more or less possessed. That would be a good show. That'd be a good title for a show. More or less possessed. Be like kind of a teen coming of age story. All right. Someday I'm actually going to write these shows or books. And then you'll say like, yeah, no, he talked about that one night on his possessed doll show.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what's going on in the NHL. Rangers and Maple Leafs are tied 1-1 late in the second period. Also late in the second period, Philly all over Seattle. It's 5-0. Blues and Coyotes at 8 and at 7:30, Anaheim and Calgary. The Ducks are then here tomorrow to play your Edmonton Oilers, 5:30 for the faceoff show, and the game will start at 7. Then the Oilers hit the road, Arizona on Thursday, Vegas on Friday. Also from the NHL, this is pretty significant here. Evander Kane of the San Jose Sharks suspended 21 games without pay for and I'll just read this from the news release, for an established violation of and lack of compliance with the NHL/NHLPA COVID-19 protocol. And there had been reports that Kane had submitted a forged proof of vaccination to the league. The NHLPA put out this statement on behalf of Kane. And I'll just read this. It's not that long. Mm-hmm. Kane saying, I would like to apologize to my teammates, the San Jose Sharks organization, and all Sharks fans for violating the NHL COVID protocols. I made a mistake, one I sincerely regret and take responsibility for. During my suspension, I will continue to participate in counseling to help me make better decisions in the future. When my suspension is over, I plan to return to the ice with great effort, determination, and love for the game of hockey. The NHL also announced today, as part of the suspension, that its concurrent investigation into allegations of domestic abuse made against Kane by his estranged wife, Deanna, could not be substantiated. So a 21-game suspension for Evander Kane of the San Jose Sharks. Also tonight, Buffalo, 9 minutes into the first quarter, 3-0 lead on Tennessee in Monday Night Football. Bottom of the second, game three of the American League Championship Series, it is Houston and Boston scoreless. Tony says your demographic screams possessed doll fans. Thank you, Tony. Dino Bambino writes in. Hi, Reed. I just Googled the average NHL salary, and it is $2.5 million. If you use a figure of $75,000 for the average person in the regular world as his or her earnings, then the equivalent of the $5,000 fine for the hockey player equals $150 for Joe Public. So that's about the equivalent of a minor speeding ticket, and we know how much that deters people from speeding again. LOL. Yes, well, I've certainly heard that before. Certainly heard that before, that how much is $5,000 to players who most of them are making well over $1 million. But yes, I gotcha. This texter says, wow, has Yamamoto been in the league for 101 years? See, okay. I know. I think I know why that. Because I referred to the 1920 season. Do I have to say the slash? Do I have to say the 19/20 season? I'm not referring to the 1920 season of 101 years ago. I don't know. Maybe Yamamoto's like Benjamin Button. He's aging, aging backwards. Robin Capilano, who's always a joy, should get John Gruden as a guest host. He would give you the best Chucky faces during the interview. Yeah, we'd have to put that one. We'd have to have a webcam for that one. All right. And Robert says, hi, Reed. I have some thoughts on the punishment that Anderson got, or lack thereof, from the Saturday night incident involving Yamamoto. I think Anderson should have been suspended at least one game for that. Personally, I would have given him two games. I think the player safety department is rather inconsistent when it comes to handing out suspensions and fines, because similar incidents lead to suspensions while some don't. I think the message needs to be more clear of what the punishment will be for similar infractions. Well, and I think that's a common thought as well with many hockey fans. They see something in one game and they hear the Department of Player Safety say, okay, that's a headshot, or that's going after a guy after the whistle, or that's a check from behind or whatever. And then there appears to be something similar in another game and it doesn't match up. And the NHL kind of seems to be focusing on something else in the incident. I mean, Dylan Larkin got suspended a couple of days ago. And, you know, it appeared that he was reacting to what was a hit from behind from Matthew Joseph. And when I watched that video, I didn't see it live. I watched the video after the fact when people were started talking about it, and then it led to the suspension. And when I first saw it, I was like, well, wait a minute. It appears to me Joseph committed the more severe infraction on the play as opposed to Dylan Larkin. And yet it was Larkin getting the suspension. I wouldn't want to be the guy handing out the suspensions, because they're always being told that they're wrong, and I don't think it's an easy job. But I also think, look, if you want to take stuff out of the game or really deter it, then actually suspend guys. Then actually, and you know what does Rob Brown say all the time? He feels that it leans towards the advantage of the person who committed the foul, as opposed to the person who was, the guy who was punched, or the guy who was kneed, or the guy who was checked from behind. That he feels the NHL should be doing more to stand up for the recipient of the infraction as opposed to the person who committed the infraction. So, yeah, those are all fair comments for sure. Mark in St. Albert. How are things in St. Albert tonight, Mark? He says, my prediction for next year is that Yamamoto does not get signed as they use the money to pay for Puljujärvi. Well, interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, I want to see how it goes for Yamamoto this season. Again, I hope is after 20 games into the season, he's settled into kind of a groove. I think we all knew he wasn't going to be almost a point a game like he was in 2019/20. But I would hope he can score more and produce more than he did last year. And like I said, I referenced the shot percentage. His shot percentage last year was 11.6, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I think it's getting a few more shots off and just finishing on a few more opportunities. I think that's the key for Yamamoto. 780-496-0063. Thanks a lot for the text tonight. All right. Want to touch on this as well. The Oilers through the two games, and this is a fair concern. We had a question after the game on Saturday night. The shots against by given up by the Edmonton Oilers, they were pretty badly outshot on Saturday night, 47-33 in favor of the Flames. There were also a lot of shots in the games in the game back on Wednesday night when they played the Vancouver Canucks. It wound up 38 shots for the Canucks, and Mike Smith outstanding in both games, so no problems there. But Dave Tippett was asked today about how he's just sort of felt about the 5-on-5 defending and the goals against.
Well, first of all, in the goals against department, I've seen excellent goaltending from Mike. We've given up more chances than I'd like to give up in each of the games. That being said, there's a lot of, there's 47 shots the other night. It wasn't a 47-shot game. Like, there's the chances were very even in the game. And, but that being said, there's, every time a puck goes to your net, there's a chance bad things can happen. So there's some things that, there's some things we've got to do better. And we haven't been bad, but just there's some things that we can be better at. Coverage on our own end, that's been wandering a little bit. Not getting engaged as much as I'd like to see, and we've addressed it, some of those things in the practice today and in some video. So it's been all right, but not at the level we need to be. We need to keep getting better.
All right, so Tippett said he didn't really feel like that was a 47-shot against game against the Calgary Flames, but of course sometimes just some pucks are going to get in. I think that's going to be an ongoing story with the Edmonton Oilers. They could be a high-event hockey team. They very well could be a high-event hockey team. Is that going to be an issue in the regular season? Probably not. Probably not for the most part for them. We talk a lot about, well, how are they going to look in April and May if they get into that? Still a lot to be played out for there, but obviously they want to cut down on the shots against. Mike Smith will play tomorrow against the Anaheim Ducks. No goaltending plan announced for the two games on the road coming up later this week. All right, 780-496-0063. We'll talk a little bit about Darnell Nurse and all that ice time when we get back. All right, Leon Draisaitl, 3 assists on the Saturday game against the Calgary Flames. McDavid had the hat trick. Jesse Puljujärvi, a goal and 2 assists as the Oilers won that 1-5-2. 780-496-0063 is the Certainty Hotline. Will has given us a ring tonight. Hello, Will. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Will. How's it going, Reed?
Yeah, good, Will. What's on your mind?
I was just wondering about Stuart Skinner. So, we have our goaltending tandem, right? But Smith, he's getting on in time, but is Skinner, are we developing him to be, maybe our future, starter, so on and so forth?
Well, I think that's the hope. Stuart Skinner is off to a good start in the American Hockey League, couple of games over the weekend. He's going to play a lot with the Condors. He's going to be the number one guy down there again. He looked very good in Oilers preseason games and in camp. I don't know if you're able to watch any of the preseason games, but I thought he played quite well.
I think definitely preseason, and I like Skinner when I see him. And like with goalies, you need time to develop and maturity, right? For them, like a quarterback or something, where they need to kind of mature into it.
Well, I think so. And like I said, he's going to play a lot. He's going to be the guy in the minors. And then I think if it goes well, I mean, why would you not look at him for maybe being on the Oilers next season? Koskinen's contract is going to be up, and Smith has a year remaining. So you're going to need at least one other goalie last year. Now, I don't know if Koskinen's going to be re-signed. If he was, it certainly wouldn't be for what he's made. Skinner turns, I'm just double-checking his birthday, he turns 23 November 1st. So basically next year, you're going to have a 24-year-old goaltender. I don't think that's unreasonable to think that he could be playing in the NHL, even if he's Smith's backup or it's a 1-on-1A situation next year. I think that's totally within the realm of possibility. And I mean, it's only two games, Will, but his save percentage on the weekend was .946 to start the season with Bakersfield.
Yeah, like that's nice. And that's, as a big time Oilers fan, nice thing almost makes me flush in the cheek.
Yeah, well, hopefully they're developing some guys there. Like I said, Ryan McLeod might wind up being sent down tomorrow, and in some regards that'll be disappointing, but in another way it shows that, all right, they don't have to bring young players along and force them into the lineup. They can play in Bakersfield and come up when, you know, we use that word overripe a lot. Maybe that's going to be the situation. Thanks, Will. I appreciate it. That is Will, 780-496-0063. Yeah, I think Skinner's a good prospect. And like I said, I mean, you don't really consider him super young anymore. So he's turning 23 right away. A month from now, could it be he and Mike Smith? We're getting way ahead of ourselves. But yeah, I mean, he's being developed. Bakersfield played 31 games last year, not a full season, but he played most of them. And he was pretty good. He wound up with a .914 save percentage in the AHL regular season. He helped them win the Pacific Division title in the mini playoffs they had after that. So definitely a developing goaltender for sure. Another storyline here for the Edmonton Oilers early in the season. Darnell Nurse playing a ton. How about this? Through two games, 30 minutes and 6 seconds of ice time average for Darnell Nurse. He commented on playing a lot.
Felt pretty fresh out there, so that's a good sign early on in the season, and just gotta keep that going.
Have you learned to conserve your energy as a defenseman?
I just be a little smarter with it. I mean, I don't know if conserve is the word. I'm still trying to be active and try to kill plays and jump into plays when the situation arises. It's just being more aware of where I'm on the ice, but I don't think conserve is really the word for it.
So, just as a note here, the NHL started keeping the time on ice stat in 97-98. So a lot of seasons that it didn't exist, but we can go back 24 years. The Oiler who have played the most per game since they started it up in 97-98 was Chris Pronger. Probably no surprise to anybody there. In the 05-06 season, he played 28 minutes per game. Well, I'm rounding that up. He played 27.59 per game. Second and third most ice time for the Oilers is the same guy, Yanni Nienema, in 02-03. And then in 01-02, he played 26.11 and 25.49, respectively. Boris Mironov, remember him? Of course you do. In 98-99, he split the year between Edmonton and Chicago. He played 25.40 per game. And then of a much more recent vintage, last year, Darnell Nurse played 25.38 per game. I would expect Nurse is going to be in the top five. He'll bump himself down out of the top five. I mean, I don't think he's going to necessarily play 28 minutes per game like Pronger did. I would think he'll be in the 26, 27 minute range, though. That they're not going to have him up around 30 minutes. And part of that was one of the games went to overtime. And don't forget, in the first game of the year, Duncan Keith wasn't available for about 10 minutes after he was cut open off that check from Tyler Myers. But that's That's what we're looking at with Nurse. He's going to log, at least since they started keeping the stats. So, I mean, this doesn't include, you know, Paul Coffey and players like that on the back end. But he's going to be one of the most used players in a single season over the course of the next 6 months here. Dave Tippett on Nurse's ice time.
Well, he's a phenomenal athlete for starters. I mean, he's engaged in the game. But I think you know, players can get to the point where you play too many minutes, you don't play as hard as you need to. You get resting on the ice, and that's what we got to. It's a long season. I'd like to see his minutes come down a little bit, and continue to have his energy in the game. But we're looking at, we've already talked about it, it's a small sample so far because of the situation in game one yesterday, or the game the other night was a tight game. But I think his minutes can come down a little bit, and he can still be very effective for our team. But that being said, he's an incredible athlete. He'll take everything you give him.
Yeah, no player's ever going to say they're playing too much. If they told Nurse you got to play 40, he'd go out there and play 40. They're not going to complain, though. They're obviously going to limit it a bit here as they move along. All right. Yeah, 780-496-0063. Got some good texts and calls so far tonight. Have more time for you if you want to check in this evening. Between 7:30 and 8, we'll catch up with Brad Lauer of the Edmonton Oil Kings. Had a bit of a tough outing yesterday, but still a very strong team here as we move through the WHL season. And we'll look a little deeper at the Trevor Harris trade. The Elks quarterback, now former Elks quarterback, sent to Montreal on the weekend. Back after the news and weather. And don't forget, we got special election coverage coming up at 8. It's Inside Sports on Chet.
630 Chet, Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chet.